D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick on this Monday. Welcome in. We are counting down the final days of July.
How many days we got left?
Well, like today is three? July 28th.
Is it already?
28th. So we got 4 days left in July.
Woo.
Which, on one hand, let's savor the 4 days that we have left in July.
They're going to be hot, too.
They're going to be hot.
Woo.
And just a little sneak preview. August is going to be hot, too.
Sneak preview. Coming attractions.
Breaking news. It's still going to be hot. Yeah.
Coming attractions. Hot in August.
I know a lot of the kids will go back to school next week, so they're not maybe looking forward to
August. I'm not looking forward to them going back because traffic. And I ain't even got kids in grade school. I just don't want the traffic.
It changes the traffic pattern.
It's been so easy coming in and out of work lately. The only thing I run into maybe somebody driving slow. But now that the kids come back, ooh, man. That whole little corridor that I go down, it's going to be a madhouse, especially on the first day.
That's Derek Mason. I'm Willie Donick. David James is behind the glass. Today, we've got intern Emily with us today. Mm-hmm. Adam Vingan.
Yes.
On the vacay. And we have not heard from Adam this morning.
Not today.
We're off to a good start.
But he has sent out pictures mapping where he is. The last picture we got, he was in Durham, North Carolina, at the University of Duke, or is it Duke University?
It's Duke University.
Duke University.
If you're being official.
Yes. Yeah. And he went to Cameron Hall. And what did you tell him, Willie?
I'm very disappointed.
Yes, me too.
Very disappointed with Adam. He wanted his son, Arlo, to see the shrine.
Yes.
You know, the place where they're going to be talking, where it all
Coach
happened.
Coach K built.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's one of the great venues in sports. There's no question. I am not a Duke fan at all. But I will admit, Cameron Indoor is really, really unique and cool. Mm-hmm. So they walked up. They sent a picture of them kind of looking up. And the thing about Cameron Indoor is, have you ever been there?
I've never been to Cameron Indoor.
Okay. Have you ever been there, David?
I have not.
Okay. So when you walk up there, you don't know that that's what it is.
It looks like a regular building.
It does. It looks like a building on the campus that it could be a chemistry class. It could be your sociology building. It just looks like an old classroom, or maybe it's an old PE thing. So from the outside, you don't really know what you're walking into. But then when you walk in, you see what you see on TV all the time. So I said, hey, did you get in?
Yeah.
And what was his response?
I think his response was no or something like that.
No. And I had to explain to him
yes.
the rule of the gym rat. The gym rat.
Gym rat rule number one.
Always a door open.
There's always a door open.
Exactly.
Especially an old gym.
Exactly.
And that's Cameron Indoor Stadium.
There's always.
And so the gym rat will always get in with that rule in mind. There's always a door open. Because once you find the door that's open, if somebody comes and asks how you got in, what do you say?
Hey, the door was open.
That's right.
Hey, I thought it was open.
Door was open.
My bad.
I'm sorry. They can't. What are they going to say?
Well, while I'm here, can my son, he's grown up a Duke fan. Can he,
exactly.
Can he see the court?
How can you say no?
We've got to have a discussion with Adam.
Yes.
I don't want to interrupt his.
Oh, he's listening.
I don't want to interrupt his vacation.
He's for sure listening.
Yeah, but I feel like on the way back through, he's got to try to channel the rule of the gym rat. Rule number one. There's always a door open. And rule number two is, if you can't find the door that's open, you will find the person
that knows
that will get you in.
Exactly.
You find the person.
It could be a student.
Could be just somebody who works in the building. And you just say, hey, I got my son here.
Arlo.
Big Duke fan.
Tell Arlo to get a sad face.
Can anybody just show, just walk us in there and take a peek. We'll take a picture. Can we just see the court for a minute?
Tell him, hey, listen, I'm here from Nashville, and we're just passing through, so I wanted my son Arlo. You got to make sure Arlo has some Duke gear on. My son Arlo, give the sad face, Arlo. He wants to get in. And they'll let him in.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go.
So you cannot accept. Now, I don't know if it was like, hey, we don't have much time.
No, it wasn't, Willie. I'm sure it wasn't.
But you cannot accept not getting in. If you're going to walk up to that place, you can't get an appreciation for Cameron Indoor. Until you get into you got to get the flavor. You got to get inside.
You can't, because if you are making a pit stop there, which it really is not a pit stop because you mapped this into your travel, so it was built in, you got to at least try more than one door. And I think Adam just tried the one door.
I feel like he did. I want to know what he tried to do.
Did he go around?
Yeah. You got to circle.
Yeah,
you got to be willing to find the back.
You
got to
be willing to lift Arlo up.
Absolutely. And rule number, this is the corollary to the gym rat rule. If there's a window open, that counts.
Take it.
That counts.
A window is like a door.
Yeah. A window is the same as a door. It was open. Just say, hey, it was open.
And we're not promoting breaking and entering.
No,
we're not.
No.
If it's open, this only applies when you are making a road trip and you go by your university or university that you love and the sports team that you love. If there's a way inside of the arena or the stadium, you find it.
Yep.
That only applies to stadiums and arenas. Not homes, people. No homes, okay? Right. Even if the window's open, don't go in.
We're only talking about enjoying the essence, the ambiance of an arena.
Exactly. So there
rule
you go.
Of the gym rat.
That's also why
we had to get
that
disclaimer. We had to give the disclaimer.
That is an important point. I'm glad you mentioned
absolutely.
That. We don't take it any further than that.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Well, Willie and them told us, and D. Mace, they told us to go in.
They said it was okay. Yeah. The door's open.
No.
Can you imagine if like you're in handcuffs, Adam, Arlo, they got the cuffs on his four-year-old. He's almost four. And they're saying, but officer, have you ever heard of the rule of the gym rat?
Come officer, with me. Do you know Derek Mason of the Willie Fantasy Donick? Sports Hall of Fame?
Come on,
and
now.
Willie Donick, who played.
They said you could just go in. They said you could just. Oh, boy. Well, just food for thought there. Yeah. Well, this is something we'll talk with Adam. Like, by the way, D-Mace Adam and DVD presented by Bet365, Bet365, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. And so we're going to have a great show for you. The Titans will keep cranking it up this week. They're going to go into pads. And that may be where we start, D-Mace. I know you always take the first few practices with a grain of salt before the pads go on. So what's the biggest change that you see before we get your evaluation of maybe what you have seen so far, what we can take away? Of course, they had the open practice on Saturday, which got a lot of attention, a lot of video. The one throw in particular kind of went wild. And so it's one play. But it was exciting.
Yes.
And so we'll try to break that down before the show is over. But what's the biggest thing that changes when you go into pads? What do you find out?
I think it's the tempo and energy out there on the field, because now there's not this sense of, even though you are, but there's not this sense of, oh, I can't thud the guy. I can't hit the guy because he has on no pads. Now you can kind of go through the original. You can go through the original motion of tackling someone. You can follow through when you have on pads, and you can knock a guy to the ground. But when you're not in pads, that energy level is toned down as far as from the physicality standpoint. It's toned down just a tad bit more. You got to be a little bit more careful at what you're doing, especially along the offensive line and the defensive line when you're engaging those guys. You got to be careful and keep one another up. And try not to grab and pull. When you get on pads, there's more of a thud. You hit them and you kind of follow through. You're not worried too much about, you know, tapering down the physicality of the potential play. All you want to do is make sure you stay up. Fisher would preach that all the time. John Harbaugh would too. Stay on your feet. Stay on your feet, because people understand that with or without pads, even though when you had the pads on, you're thinking about finishing and driving, but you don't want to take an individual to the ground, especially if it's not one of those type of periods, a goal line period where you're trying to get the guy to the ground. If it's just a thud period, I can go through the motion of tackling and thud the guy, get him a hard, solid hit, and then, follow through. But without pads, you can't do that. So the energy level raises the minute you put on pads. That's why, you know, when I'm looking at practice and because I've seen it over and over and over again. Mind you, you know, our practices were a little bit longer and we had more days in pads. I think we was in pads the first day. It may have been the second practice we were in pads. So we had a non-padded in the morning and then a padded in the afternoon. Or I think we ran our tests on one day and then the next day we were in pads, something like that. So, but I've seen guys practice without pads. And they look like they're getting it. They look like somebody that's going to go out and be a key contributor. And then all of a sudden you throw those pads on and everything changes. That ball across the middle, you may not want to go for it now because now you can get thud. I can hit you. I'm going to still take care of you, but I could put a hit on you. When you're not in pads, it's like flag football. You can't touch me. I'm going to run across the middle. I'm going to do this. Quarterbacks are going to make certain throws because they know the defensive guy can't touch him at all. But when those pads come on, man, it seems like people get alligator arms, and for some reason they just can't block or be blocked. So that's why I look at the first couple of practices, and I think, okay, this is a good baseline for where I think this team could be. You know, guys are moving around fluently. It seems like everything is running the way it's supposed to be ran. So it's more so about technique with me on those first couple of days, because I know when once those pads get on, it may take some of those younger guys a little bit longer to get adjusted, and then some guys just don't adjust to it because they equate putting on pads to game time.
I'll ask the low-hanging fruit question, because this seems to be buzzing around the Twitter circles and the talk shows a little bit, and I guess it will be a thing. But is the whole chirping, the trash talk, when you get into the pads, does that change that part of it? And not that I think it's a big deal either way. You know, we always talk about training camp fights and stuff and how dumb those are. But at the same time, establishing your turf, forget about throwing punches or things like that. But when you actually have more physicality in the practice, I do think that is where you start to see who's for real.
Yeah, you do. You talk with your pads, not with your mouth. You know, some guys are able to talk with their mouth, and then once you get the pads on, it's a different story. And some guys are able to do both. I played with a guy, Ray Lewis. I mean, Keith Bullock was that way. Some of these other guys on defense or offense that, you know, when they put on the pads, now the energy level raises and the trash talking commence. And, you know, it's not as much as what you think, but it does. It sort of elevates the level of physicality. And when you elevate the level of physicality, and you're talking about alpha males out there, majority of them, you're going to get the trash talking. You're going to get the in your face. You're going to get the pushing and shoving. It's just a bunch of testosterone out there, and guys are you know, out there being physical. So it does ramp up the sort of trash talking when you put on pads. Because the first thing you hear when you don't have on pads and a guy trash talks, wait till we put on pads. Wait till we put on pads. I see how much talking you do now when we put on those pads tomorrow. That's the first thing you hear. And some guys, they can go with it when they put the pads on. Some guys, not so much.
Yeah.
They shrink. So that's why I look at these pads. I look at these practices, man. And it's good that they're moving around. It's good that they're executing. But I want to see those pads come Wednesday.
In the next segment, we'll talk about what we did see on Saturday from a lot of different angles, because that was the first sort of showcase in front of some of the fans, and there's always more attention paid, even though, like you said, it's a glorified, you know, they're not in pads. There's not much you can deem. But there's going to be a question I think we ask with everything that comes up, and that is, how does it affect Cam Ward? Because everything, there's so much riding on Cam Ward. So what will you look for from him when the pads go on?
Just to see how he commands the huddle continually. If he's one of those guys that, as Brian Callahan said, he can talk trash and still listen to the play. I want to see if he can continue that. Even though, listen, quarterbacks can't be touched with pads or no pads. They might as well just have on shorts and a helmet when they're out there. But it does elevate, you know, I think his ability to sort of see the game as he may see it on Sunday, because again, it's guys with pads, guys are flying around, guys are not as much hesitant to hit another guy because it's like, that's what we're supposed to do. We got on pads. So now Cam can see a sort of a snap, maybe some snapshots or sort of like this tutorial video of how it may be come Sunday. Things flow a lot faster. Those holes are a lot tighter. They're no longer, I mean, like you said, we'll talk about it, but some of those throws he made that people show clip, those are tight throws. And he has to understand that's how it's going to be each and every week out there in the NFL. Because in the NFL, wide open is a step. If you're more than that, the coverage was blown. But majority of the times, it's a half a step.
Mm-hmm. What about specifically feeling the pass rush when the guys are in pads as opposed to not in the pads? Because the question we always ask when you're sitting there trying to evaluate a practice, and I'm sure the coaches have to do this on some level, is, okay, how is that translating to a real game?
Yeah.
Right? Is that throw, was it on time? Mm-hmm. Or if that was a real game, would he have been sacked? Is it a change in pass?
Yeah, it
when
does.
You're evaluating Ward?
It does, because now the defensive guys, they're coming faster and with more power. Because no longer is it, again, I don't want to hit somebody in the chest or the shoulder when they don't have on pads. So I'm sort of holding back. But now, again, we have on pads. Now, all of it is fair game with the outside of, you know, taking somebody to the ground or doing something like that or grabbing somebody. Everything else is fair game. So I can come at you with a good punch to the chest or swiping down on your arm or hitting that left or right shoulder if I'm a defensive guy. Now you get more of a realized pocket situation because the pocket is truly collapsing on you now. And now you got to figure out, how do I either get out of it? How do I deliver the ball quicker? Or where do I know, where are my hots in this particular play? So it allows things to, like I said, it gives you an opportunity to see things more so what they're going to look like in a game and feel that pocket more so of how you're going to feel it in a game. Because, again, when you don't have pads, it's easy to be the offensive lineman. You should be able to do it without pads. But when you throw in those pads, things get a little bit harder.
615-737-1025 will have a lot of thoughts on Cam Ward and Titans training camp as they move on to the next phase, which is practice in pads. We do have a couple of texts on the rule of the gym rat, D-Mace. Greg texts in and says, I've never seen a game in Neyland, but I have found a gate open.
Exactly.
Took photos on the field. Same with Georgia Sanford Stadium. Same rule applies.
Exactly.
See, for the gym rat, it's about getting in there with a ball and shooting around, mm-hmm. get some shots up. You know, when you need a place to play. But of course, if you just want to see it, the same principle is out there. Mm-hmm. Jess also weighs in and says, I used to work for IU Athletics, it's Indiana University, and my quote offices were Memorial Stadium and Assembly Hall. A truer statement has never been made. You listening, Adam? But if my old bosses are listening, I always kept my keys on me and the doors locked. All right. Thank you, Jess.
Statue of limitation is gone. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
So Robert asked the question you just answered, too, that the other texter we got so far. Who is Cam going to be when the pads come on? Well, let's talk about what we have seen from Cam so far. And we're going to tackle that when we come back. And if you went to the practice on Saturday, I do want to get some feedback on what you saw, because obviously, the first thing that everybody sees is the new stadium is coming up. It's taking shape. It's a long way from being done, but you're seeing a structure, and obviously, it's a total mess around there. And if you're going to a game this year, you kind of have to figure out, how am I going to get to the game? So people that went, and I have talked to some people that did go, what was your experience like? And what does the stadium look like? Because I'll be honest, I heard some things that were not all that great. And also something that happened at practice on Saturday, the latest in the tale of woe, the latest tale of woe from Treylon Burks. That was a bummer. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. But I'd really love to hear from you. If you went to the event on Saturday, what did you think? Stay tuned. We're just getting it cranked here on DVD, 1025 The Game. I got that on video. That was a tweet that D-May sent that captured, you know, the flavor of that one play that everybody was buzzing about on Saturday when Cam Ward rolled out the opposite way. Like it was, you know, we had a great conversation with Lewis Riddick about just why he makes, you know, specifics about what he sees in Cam Ward and the comparisons to Patrick Mahomes, and that had a little bit of it, right? The baseball kind of throw where it's not what you're supposed to do, but he did it, and it looked great. It was a beautiful throw. And I do have to say, and I'd love to hear from some people that went to the event, I felt for Taylor Zarzur, the new play-by-play person. First of all, it's always a challenge when you're replacing a fixture like Mike Keith.
Yes.
But then you've got to do play-by-play on the PA. That is never, it's never easy to do that. I don't care how good you are. All the echoing and stuff, like you're hearing yourself echo back at yourself. That is not, that's not what I would have signed up for.
That was the pass that was heard all around Nashville.
That's it really was though. Yeah, the pass itself, right? Yeah, everybody was buzzing about that.
Everyone was buzzing about that. You know, and like you said, I mean, it has to be, you know, this is where we've gotten, you know, as a sports society where everything is managed as if it was a game. From the practices, from the everything. It's everything is geared toward, you know, the game and giving you the experience that you may not. The same experience that you get at a game, they're trying to emulate at practice, whether it be, you know, refs, first downs, you know, somebody, the PA guy, you know, going over each and every play. You know, it's a lot of the game has bled into what you do out there on practice. And you know, you see Cam Ward, and you see some of the passes that he made and whatnot. And, you know, this is what, because I listened to, and I know we're going to talk about this too. I listened to Calvin Ridley. And because I always say, just listen to people. People will give you buzzwords. People, just if you listen to somebody, they'll tell you exactly what they're thinking. Or what they're not thinking, or, you know, whatever. Last year at this time, the enthusiasm for Will Levis wasn't this. It really wasn't. If it was, I'm talking about from players.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about from the city. I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about from the owner. Because the owner, you know, I think she was just trying to be, you know, positive.
Right.
She said that about Will Levis. We got a young, and in her mind, that was the case, a young, you know, exciting quarterback from what she has seen at that particular time, and it just didn't work out. But beside her, I don't even think Brian Callahan was overly excited. Now, he's excited about getting the job and the potential of developing this young guy, but I think once it was like, okay, we got some work to do. But with Cam, it's different. Listen to the players talk about Cam Ward the way they didn't talk about Will Levis.
Yes, we're definitely going to hit on that specific thing in the noon hour, because I think that is apparent, and Lewis Riddick echoed it as well, that there is a pretty decent gap in the Riddick, I thought, had the right term, because we still don't know what Cam Ward is going to be when it's time to play. But as a prospect, there is, as Riddick put it, there's really no comparison. It's a wide gap between Will Levis, the prospect, and Cam Ward, the prospect. But that did create a lot of buzz, and the Titans, you know, look, they can put any product in the field, and it will still be the most talked about sports entity in the city. They have that just because it's the NFL. But Cam Ward really is all they have.
Yeah.
There was a great, I forget where the discussion was, but sometimes a great marker, it's been thrown out there before, but what jersey would you buy, right, at the pro shop? They don't really have that guy that you know, back in the day, you know this, D-Mace, it was a great competition of how many number nines are you going to see? How many number 89s you're going to see? How many 85s you're going to see? Obviously, how many 27s you're going to see? You knew who the guys were. It was just, there were so many people you mm-hmm. would buy the jersey for. You saw a whole array. You had a lot of Bishop jerseys. You had a lot of, you know, you go down the list. Mm-hmm. People want, you had a lot of Curse jerseys. When you start listing the jerseys, who are you going to buy? Number one, it always helps if it's a skill guy.
Yes.
Right? But other than Cam Ward, there's not really a jersey guy since the Derrick Henry era mm-hmm. ended mm-hmm. and, you know, that whole era, Tannehill, et cetera. There's just not a whole lot going on. So that puts so much more, and this is a theme we've hit on before. We're now starting to see it come to fruition, is how do you channel the excitement mm-hmm. of Cam Ward without overhyping him, right? Because it does really look like there's a lot to be excited about.
Yeah, there is. And listen, only time will tell. But I would rather my quarterback, show, flashes of this than to not show flashes of it early on. Because if he shows flashes, that tells me he's getting it. And he's going to – and I don't think anybody questions – I'm trying to figure out what people are questioning about with Cam Ward. That's what I'm really trying to figure out. Because if you take – just strip away the name and whatnot, and you look at him, does he make all the throws? Now, I know people go back to, well, he took some chances. What quarterback doesn't take chances in college? I mean – if you show me a quarterback in college, I'll show you a quarterback that take a lot of chances.
Yeah.
Because that's just the way it is. You make throws based upon what you're seeing, and you feel your guy is more talented than that guy that's covering him. So you're going to try to throw, you're going to try to throw passes sometimes into tight spaces. That's just what you do as a quarterback. You don't make it a routine thing.
No question. So he's got – that, and that attracts fans, right?
Yeah.
That gets you some of these clips that go viral. And so that's really what I want to know from people that went. What was the experience like just watching him? And also, what was your experience like in the stadium? Because that's another question I have. Let's call it an overall vibe check. 615-737-1025. Because I think there was certainly going to be a lot of hype when you're the 1-1, when you're the first overall pick. But he's giving you some things to work off of, to feed off of, if you're trying to get a little bit excited when you've been burned these last couple of years, right? There's been a lot of disappointment. That's how you get the first pick, is your team is not good, mm-hmm. right? Because the other thing that they are fighting as an organization is with the new stadium going up, people are going to really have to want to go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about people that are going to you can always feed off of this cross section, people from other cities that are coming in to watch their team play and having a great time in downtown Nashville and experiencing all of what that has. It's the perfect city to just drop in on Saturday, enjoy the nightlife, and then walk over to the stadium on Sunday. That's a weekend. And it's so attractive to do that. It's way better than a lot of NFL cities. So the Titans are going to have to fight that. But for their fan base, that stadium provides zero of the reason that you're going to go there. So it's got to be Cam Ward or how the team's playing for you to want to go, is what I would think, just based on what I'm seeing. I just live by the stadium, uh-huh. so there's just so much. This is part of it. When you build a stadium right next to the old stadium, it's going to create a lot of logistical hassles. And it does look like, quite honestly, they have completely neglected mm-hmm. Nissan Stadium. They're not doing a thing to upgrade things that have been a problem mm-hmm. for 20 years over there and have only gotten worse because they have not reinvested in the stadium, right? It is basic bare bones. It reminds me a little bit of an old minor league baseball park. Mm-hmm. You're going for the game. You're not going for any of the amenities you get at Nissan Stadium. The club level, that's so antiquated, and it looks exactly the same as it did in 1999 when it opened. They haven't done anything. So There's nothing that's going to bring you there. So you got to love it. You got to want to go. So you're down to the diehards. So I am curious from that standpoint how people that routinely go to the games are feeling about these next couple of seasons. Because you got to squeeze in not one but two more seasons before you see the fruits of the new stadium. If you're going to prepare, you're going to continue to go to the new stadium because it's a whole game changer there in terms of what it's going to cost you and the investment it's going to take to continue to go.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's – and like you said, I want to hear what Titan fans who did go to the open practice, you know, what they saw, how they felt about it, you know, what was their feeling on Cam Ward. And then, too, for those that went and know that they will be going to, you know, the game once the season starts, you know, how is it around the stadium? You know, I know a lot of people are going to have to park on the other side of the bridge. So are you getting used to parking where you're going to park and then walking across the bridge? Because that's what a lot of people got
to
do.
There's going to be a lot of people that are used to parking in a certain spot. That parking spot is gone. Nope. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of parking spots that are just taken up by the construction. So all those people are parking somewhere else.
Yes.
Some people listening are probably like, well, I've never had to worry about that. I always park at so-and-so. I got my secret spot. That's how we always go. Yeah, I get that. But other people are going to be looking for your secret spot now. So let's go to Adam to get it started here. Let's get a vibe check on what you've seen so far at practice. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, Willie, got you. First off, man, I got you in the old prayer rotation there, bro. Thinking about you all the time.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey. Yeah, hey, so T'Vondre Sweat is one that you're missing as a Jersey guy. Like, it's either him or Cam, but it's really just down to them. And I think that's the problem with Cam is that he's got, like, yeah, you're right, D-Mace. He's going to say, hey, my guy's got to go beat their guy. The only problem is our guys are not going to beat a lot of guys. And so when you realize how low the talent level is right now, I just hope Cam can persevere and understand that it's not on him. Like, he's got to continue to develop, take his lumps, but a lot of this is not going to be on him. And so I worry about that. The thing that hooked me on him is that he got with Shador, and I know y'all know where I'm going with it, and he's like, hey, make a song with me. And he's like, no, I'm a football guy. What are you talking about? Get away from me. So, like, that, I love him. After that, I'm all in on Cam. So I just want to see him not get down on himself when bad things happen. Because bad things are en route, bro. 2025, bad things are coming. Like, let's get excited, but just know that it's not all on you. Like, you got to be able to overcome.
Gotcha, Adam. Good stuff. 615-737-1025. Another thing that accompanies the jersey selling is the availability of options.
Yeah.
And another thing I heard a lot from fans, and again, tell me if I'm wrong, because I didn't go, but I have been in the pro shop. It's not what it needs to be. If you want to sell jerseys, my experience of their pro shop, it's tiny. The Sounds have a better pro shop. I'll be dead honest with you. The Sounds have much more variety, much more options. Of course, the Sounds, it's different in that you're not ever going to sell a Sounds jersey of a player, unless it's maybe an alumni, like Don Mattingly or, you know, some of the classic guys who have come through Nashville are now great players. They try to do some of that. But the Titans Pro Shop is not a place where you're like, oh, I've got to go into the Titans Pro Shop.
Yeah.
And it, because that's where you should get the secondary guys, like Sweat, maybe somebody that you like. We have one texter on our text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You know it's bad when people buy a Stonehouse jersey. I'm a culprit of that.
You bought a Stonehouse jersey?
Stonehouse jersey. I mean, I used to see some Hendrick jerseys out there.
Yeah,
right?
I saw some Hendrick jerseys.
He was there for a long. That was a good investment.
I love my
Stonehouse,
punters.
Not so much.
I love the punters. Okay, you know, as far as the gift shop, you know, it may just be inventory from last year they're trying to get rid of. They're in the process of moving. You know, just working around a lot of stuff, and then the roster isn't set just yet. So I would be interested to see how it looked because they are further along in the building process with the new stadium. So last year the gift shop probably looked a certain way because everything was in there. I wonder how it's going to look this season, knowing that you're closer to moving, you know, into the new stadium. And then the jerseys are going to change. I mean, the uniforms are going to change, right? There's a uniform change here. So I'm not sure how many jerseys they're going to produce this season. Honestly, I'm thinking, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't produce any more.
That's a really good question. I would think, though, that you've got to try to have something. You can't just say, well, we're not going to have
Well, you
got to
sell what you got. And the good part about this league is when that player leaves, you just snatch the name off and you can leave the numbers and then you repatch it on another name. Yeah. So that's easy.
They have some challenges, yeah, for sure. But I don't know how much their front office and their top-down people really care. Like, I would work – I don't think they work that hard, honestly. I think they need to work harder to cultivate their fan base, because I really am concerned where they're going over the next couple years, unless Cam Ward just becomes the savior, you know, and just rescues everybody by being that special. Because I'd like to see some creativity. And, hey, you know, come up with some fun market. Hey, we know it's a mess over there, but here's why you should come. You know, there's
come help us
clean
up the mess.
Have they had a meeting like that? Like, hey, I know our pro shop, you know, we don't have a lot of names, but here's why you should come to the pro shop. Mm-hmm. Their pro shop is tiny. It's an NFL team. Like, it should be easier to get a jersey.
Yeah.
I think. Even if the jerseys are changing. Or lean into the fact that the jerseys are changing. Here's your last chance. Here's a deal. We're giving you a deal on the jerseys that are sort of on the way out. You don't even have to say it that blatantly, but find a way. Get them out there. 615-737-1025. Your vibe check, especially over the weekend, specifically if you went to the event on Saturday, what'd you think? Especially with Cam Ward certainly making some noise out there. 615-737-1025. You're listening to DVD, and we are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. 102.5 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for the kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more info and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Adam Vingan is on vacation this week. We're talking about the vibe check of the Tennessee Titans so far in their pre-pads portion of just the opening week of training camp, especially the event on Saturday that was more of the open event. We'd love to get some feedback from you if you went down there. One of the things that happened there, D-Mace, unfortunately, of course, is the latest chapter in the sad saga of Treylon Burks. The guy cannot catch a break, and that's no pun intended, obviously, but he did catch a break. He made a great effort for a catch. We've seen it so far, and we have conditioned ourselves over the last few years. Every time he makes an effort for a catch and he goes down to the ground hard, you hold your breath. And sure enough, he's got a fractured collarbone. Ian Rappaport saying that he will miss the start of the regular season.
It's unfortunate because he's one of those guys that we see from time to time in this league, and, you know, a guy that is immensely talented. But for some reason, whether it be through play or injury, he just can't find himself on the field. And with Treylon Burks, it's been more so injury than anything, because it seems like when the momentum is going his way, he runs into a hurdle. And, you know, he has to spend weeks trying to get himself back going, only to then have another injury somehow, some way. So it's unfortunate from him. You know, and I was listening to Chase and Big Joe this morning, and they had a caller on. I think the caller mentioned something about, well, this is why receivers should wear shoulder pads. And maybe that is the right answer, because I think what these players need to understand is that when back and they may still do it now, but some guys choose not to wear them. But majority of the time, we were in shoulder pads. We may not. We may have had on shorts.
Yeah.
But we were in shoulder pads. Why? Because it protects your shoulders. Or we were in shells. But when you know how to practice, you don't get anybody hurt. So you can practice with shoulder pads on and still have a sort of fluent practice because everybody knows how to practice. When you don't have on pads and you don't know how to practice, things like that happen. You don't dive for balls when you ain't got on shoulder pads. You just don't do it. We used to get mad at Chris Sanders all the time because Chris used to dive, and that was just him. He used to dive and make, you know, acrobatic catches, you know, in practice and in the game. I guess it was more so he's practicing what he's going to do in the game. But I think you got to understand, dude, when you ain't got on pads, don't do it.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Especially
we know you can
on
do
the
it.
Particular play, mm-hmm. It was out of bounds. Like
exactly.
That's another one where I thought of that aspect. I also thought about the turf. Mm-hmm. You're on the turf. Would that have happened on grass? We'll never know. But this is another curious decision that they made as an organization to switch to the turf, mm-hmm. even though they knew they were moving into a new stadium.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
And their argument was they thought there were too many injuries on that field. Mm-hmm. And it seemed very anecdotal. It seemed counterintuitive, mm-hmm. so to speak. Counter to what most evidence suggests. Certainly the turf is way better than it was. Remember, we did our retro, we did a rewatch of a game from 40 years ago, basically, on the old carpet. And that was brutal. Yes. You wonder how they ever decided that was a good idea. And so it's way better than it was, but still... Mm-hmm. Grass is safer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's a lot of things that go into it, and it all adds up to, A, Treylon Burks has incredibly bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
B, there are certain humans that are just more injury-prone than other humans. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to staying on the field for the NFL, he's not the only one that you just ask the question, is your body cut out for this? Caleb Farley certainly.
Yeah.
He's proven that his body was not cut out for playing professional football.
I think, unfortunately, could because it's not like, because it seems like Treylon's doing everything he's supposed to as far as working out, lifting weights and everything else. Now, listen, maybe he needs to, change some, a few things in his off-season workout. I don't know. But it seems like he's doing all the things that will keep him healthy. But he's just not staying healthy. I look at it as, listen, some guys are supposed to play this game. Others, they work through a lot just to get themselves in a position where they're on the roster. And some guys, no matter how talented you are, your body's just telling you, I'm done. I've given you everything that I can. I'm done. Pivot to something else. And you never want to tell a kid, hey, listen, your dream is over. And I'm not saying that about Treylon, but he's every year he's been here, he's been injured. Every
and something different each time.
Year he's been injured. And maybe, just maybe, as talented as he is, his body's still telling him. His body's telling him, I'm done. Now, I'm not going to buy into, because I heard, Robbie and Rex too this morning. And I think Robbie said, and if I'm misquoting you, Robbie, please correct me. I think Robbie said that he didn't believe that Treylon was making his roster regardless. Him getting hurt, okay. I don't think that was true. I think in their mind, this was going to be the year or the camp he proves to them he could be on this team or he couldn't. I don't think they were going to outright just cut him. Try to get a trade, yes, but cut him. I just don't know.
Like now,
they
that
can't
he's going
cut
to
him
miss,
now. They can't cut
right.
him.
Right, and yeah. That's a really important question. Let's say he's out until week two or three,
mm-hmm.
And he gets healthy enough to play, and he's sitting there, and you're looking at the other wide receivers and going, "It's not knocking our socks off here." Is this a pathway for him to bypass all the questions? Do you cut him? Do you not cut him? And maybe he's available and he has at least another chance to get out there. Like, whenever this ends, mm-hmm. He's never going to be able to say, they didn't give me a chance.
They did. He gave him a bunch
of like chances. He keeps getting opportunities. I'm wondering if there still would be one more, even despite this.
I think this was the year. I think this was the last one more. This was it. And it'd be interesting to see. I think if it, I wonder if they're going to put him on IR. If they put him on IR, then that may tell what they, yeah. Or if they don't.
So they could table the situation for 6 weeks.
If they don't
put
him on IR, yeah. Then that may tell you, like, if he comes back week two, we can cut him. Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, once you get past, like, week three.
I think it's week two, right?
Two, then the money is guaranteed for the year and whatnot. So if they don't put him on IR, that may be telling. That may signify that, yeah, they may think about if another guy pops, then once he gets healthy, once he passes the physical, we can release him. But even with that, I would almost believe that he's going to be out at least two games during the regular season.
So that does bring up a very curious roster question that I'm not sure we'll get the answer to right away. Because we don't know the severity of it.
Had an opportunity to put him on IR right now. So the minute he got hurt, he has to have surgery, or he just probably has to let it heal on his own. They could have chose to say, we're putting him on IR. But they haven't anyway.
And they have some time before they have to make that. The question is asked on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Did he have significant injuries, Treylon Burks, in college? And I'm looking at the 3 years he played at Arkansas. He played 11 games. Then nine, so I don't remember back that far in 2020, but remember that was 2020, so there were less games.
Exactly.
So
the whole COVID stuff.
They may have only played nine, right? Because there were whole games wiped out.
Yeah.
Because of some one team couldn't play. Remember that all the oh God, I hate thinking back to that.
I think it was like eight SC games and then just one bowl game. That they played in.
Vanderbilt's last game that year, Vanderbilt's like, we don't have enough guys. That was supposed to be against Georgia. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he had any significance. He played 12 the year that he was drafted, 12
so injuries
games.
Injuries wasn't a
He didn't have this in college.
So.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get some really good insight into Cam Ward. We're going to pull from the perspectives of a lot of different people who know football. As D-May said earlier, listen to people. Listen to what they're saying. So we're going to break all that down, especially from the wide receiver translator aspect. And we're going to talk Cam Ward, what we've seen so far. Stay tuned. We're coming back on DVD.